Well, I'm glad the Lord saw fit to get you here today. It is a new week, but last Sunday just felt like a new year. So I jumped the gun and I started our new series last Sunday. If you weren't here, it's online. You can check it out. It was all right. It was okay. We got to visit Sonny's family. Last week, we drove up to Missouri, and my mother-in-law said, "Hey, I can't find your stuff anymore." And so I said, "Well, I'm pretty sure Ben's still recording it." So we were able to redirect, and we were able to find it. But so if you didn't catch us last Sunday, go back and check it out. I didn't want to break it to Steve because he asked, "What is this, January 7th?" He asked us too late, didn't he? Who has New Year's resolutions? We're all sitting here sitting on our hands going, "Yeah, I already broke them." I've had 6 days. I've already messed that up. So I'm pretty sure that's why you didn't get a response, Steve. So we are glad that you are starting the new year with us. We are thankful for what God has done. And I am excited for 2024. I'm excited. I don't know why. I'm just excited for it. I like New Year's. I'm glad it happens in the middle of the cold winter. Everything outside just feels, you know, but I like New Year's. I like the renewal and just that idea that if I give God the real estate in my heart today, He can make new things. If I give God faith today, then He can put a new start in there. If I give God all that He's asked of me, that I know God can do amazing things with me. So I love that. I love that start of a new year, start of a new week, and start of a new day. So we are going to go to our Father in prayer, and then we're going to jump in. We're going to jump in the Word. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful that you brought us here today. And you have allowed us to offer up songs of praise to your throne. You've allowed us to commune with your very Son. You've allowed us to come close to you because of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And you grant us wisdom from your Word, from your Scriptures. Father, now that we're forgiven, you've given us your Holy Spirit. We thank you. We praise your name. And we just ask, Lord, that you guide our steps into this new year. We don't know how many days we have. We hope and look for the return of your Son. And Father, we also admit and we confess that we're grateful for the safety in here this morning, but we also, we admit what we see the other 6 days a week. It's kind of crazy out there. I pray, Lord, that you give us wisdom. I pray, Lord, that we will be seeking you. I pray that you give us discernment to understand what you have done, what you are doing. I pray, Lord, that all of us will be watchful because we know the enemy is looking to devour us. And Father, I don't want anyone from this body here at Sunrise to be devoured. So I pray that you guide our steps. I pray that we remain close to you. And as we study you, through the names that are given to us in your Scriptures, I pray, Lord, that we will see you more clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so that's what we started last week. We're taking a look at the names of God given to us in Scripture. Each of these names is connected to a specific story, stories that most of us know. But what these names of God do is they reveal an aspect of His character. And what I want for the beginning of this year, what I, this is what it's doing for me. It's what I hope it's doing for you. Is as we look at the different names of God, this should give us a point of connection in our faith, so that we know that this is something that God is, and this is something that God does for us. And then also as a connection or an anchor in your prayers. Because if I'm praying to God, the God who is this, or the God who is that, or the God who does this, or the God who does that, that gives me an anchor point, and that gives me a true realization of what he is capable of and what he is up to. Last week we took a look at Genesis chapter 22, the familiar story of Abraham called to the mountain to sacrifice his son. And then at the last moment, God provides a lamb in place of Isaac. And Abraham, you'll remember, he calls this place Yahweh Jireh, the Lord will provide. And again, it is my hopes, and as we take this study, all week long I have prayed to the Lord who provides. That has been my prayer. You are the Lord who provides. You are Yahweh Jireh. You are the one who is taking care of, who is giving all that I need. And so this week we're going to take a look at another one, and we're going to be in Exodus chapter 17 to see another name of God, to see another aspect of God's nature. And today in Exodus 17, we're going to see Yahweh Nissi, N-I-S-S-I, Yahweh Nissi. And this translation, and in most of your English translations, you're going to see at the end of the story that this is translated as the Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner. And this word also means the Lord is my refuge. And it comes from the root word nis, which means to lift up. To lift up. All right. Exodus chapter 17, God's people, here's where they are. They have celebrated the waters coming crashing down on all of Pharaoh's chariots. They get hungry in the wilderness, and God says, okay, fine, here's some manna. So they got the manna. Well, you know what happens when you get manna, right? These pretzels are making me thirsty. No? Okay. This manna's making me thirsty. So then you get thirsty. Well, we don't have any water. We don't have any water. So God says, fine, Moses, hit that rock. And he provides water. So he has broken the bonds of slavery. He has defeated their oppressors. He has fed them. He has watered them. And then here in chapter 17, now they have a real test. Right? Now they have a real test. Their first enemy is going to come up and is going to give them trouble. All right? And God is going to use this opportunity to show them that this is what life is like. And again, amazing story for us. And as we go through this, I hope that you really take hold of this, because so often you and I are just living our faith and we're following Jesus and something bad happens and it shakes us as though we are somehow immune to bad. Right? Like, wait a minute, I'm following Jesus. He's my Lord. He's forgiven my sins. And why do bad things keep happening to me? But it does. It happens all the time, right? Yeah, we're still alive. We're still in this world. We still have to walk by faith and not by sight. We have to trust God that he has taken care of us. And bad things happen. And so, bad things happen to Israel. God's providing. God is taking care of them. But an enemy shows up. An enemy shows up in the wilderness. Now remember at this time, this story that we're about to read, this enemy tribe is coming against them. And again, up to this point, what would you assume is Israel's main occupation in Egypt? What were they doing? They were making bricks. They were masons. Okay? They were not warriors. They were not warriors. You think Egypt was training them? No, Egypt was looking at them going, hey, we got to keep them down. We got to keep them tired. We got to keep them weak. Just strong enough to be our labor. But we don't want them rising up or anything like that. And so they're not trained warriors. And so in Exodus chapter 17, it's great when God's making the water splash down over the chariots, but now God's going to ask Israel to be involved, to be involved. Let's take a look at Exodus chapter 17, starting in verse 8. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed, and whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary. So they took a stone and they put it under him and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, so his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, "The Lord is my banner." Yahweh Nissi. "The Lord is my banner," saying, "A hand upon the throne of the Lord. The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." Okay, a few important details. Number one, Amalek. Who's this Amalek? Amalek is Esau's grandson. Okay, so they were kind of a wild wandering tribe, and not too happy with God's people. They come out and they're out in the wilderness, and Amalek says, "You know what? Let's just go ahead and take care of these people now." And so Moses, this is also, so we hear about Amalek, Esau's grandson, that's his people. And then this is also the first shout out to Joshua. So Moses says to Joshua, Joshua, you're going to lead a battle. Here's a sword. Okay. Yeah, you're going to lead the battle. I'm going to stand up here on this rock. So I want you and all these guys to go down there, and I want you to fight with Amalek. So Joshua goes down, he fights with Amalek. And up on this rock, you get Moses, and he's got the staff. And again, this staff, we know about this staff, right? Yeah, imagine some of the things that this staff has seen. This staff is like split water, brought water from the rock, turned into a snake. I mean, this staff has got miles on it. It's got a story attached to it. And so Moses gets up on that rock and he holds the staff up in the air. And as long as he held that staff up in the air, Joshua and his guys are like, "Hey, I mean, it's kind of easy, right?" Well, Moses' arms naturally start to get tired, as arms held above your head do. And his arms start to go down. And when his arms go down, Joshua's like, "Ka-ching, ow, hey, what? Seriously? You guys are getting stronger?" And they're going back and forth here. So Aaron and Hur with Moses and going, "Oh, Moses, we can't let you get tired, because we're seeing a connection with, you know, your hands in the air and how we're doing down there." And so they put a rock. Here, have a seat. And so they get a rock. You know, you and I would get one of those Adirondack or a lounge chair, whatever you got sitting in the backyard. And so they get a rock for Moses, and Moses sits on this rock. Okay, all right, well, that's better on the legs, but this staff's still getting heavy. So, well, let's hold him up. So here you have, up on the mountain, you have Moses holding his staff, and you got a guy on either side of him holding his arms up. And he says, okay, good, I can do this, right? Some of you this afternoon, you'll see a little bit of this. Moses is doing this, and he's got his arms held up in the air. As long as his arms were up in the air, then Joshua is down on the floor leading this battle, and they're winning. and they're winning. Cool story, right?
Yeah,
I know. I like the story. I like the story because Joshua and all the fighting men, they don't somehow get better because, you know, Moses has his arm in the air. But instead, this is God's way of showing Joshua and his fighting men, as long as you can see my banner, the victory's yours. And that's why Moses names that place Yahweh Nissi. This is our God. This is not only the God who has brought us out of Egypt. This is not only the God that has revealed himself in the burning bush. Remember, Moses got that show too. And what did God say? I am. I am. Okay, I am what? I am banner. I am Nissi. Last week is, I am provider. I'll provide for you. This week, I am banner. I will protect you. Now, banner. What's the deal with the banner? Well, for us, the best thing that we can imagine. I want you to imagine an old-time war movie. Not like, you know, WW2. I mean like old wars. There's always a guy or guys who are holding up a flag. I would always watch these old, like, you know, feudal Japan samurai type battles or even Civil War stuff, and you're like, why do you give the guy in the front row a flag? I mean, give me a gun. I did not ever envy the guy who was the flag bearer. Because his job was literally, okay, you go in front, hold this high, don't get shot. Okay. I get the front part, not excited about it, but I get it. I get the hold it high part, I can do that. Yeah, a little concerned about the don't get shot part. You know, we get extra vests or anything. Oh, look, banner, this is a fighting word. This is a fighting word, okay? And this is a fighting story that God has provided for his people, and now he also shows them that whatever fight you're in, I am going to be your banner. And again, banner serve for all nations. As long as you saw the flag, you knew your side was doing okay. That's why the generals would send out the flag bearers or those who were holding up the banner. And again, at this time in history, it wasn't like, you know, you and I think of like, you know, American flag waving. More than likely it wasn't like that. Most of these banners were, just like the staff was made of wood, most of these banners were wood or even had some metal on them. And so they would have been a carved design of, you know, the family crest or the army seal or an animal or a deity or a god, something that would, you know, more than likely not just whip around in the wind, but even glint in the sunlight, reflect the sun's light. And so that way, whenever the army could look, they could say, okay, well, we're still okay because our banner is flying. And so they would look to that thing and go, all right, we got this. Because, you know, again, just like us, when you're in the middle of a fight and you look around at your circumstances and life kind of feels that way somehow, that, oh, that was close. Or, well, what just happened? And it's not making light of war, because war is awful. But if you're in the middle of war, if you're in the middle of a fight, and things are going on around you, much like our lives sometime, you know, things are flying all around us, and people are going down, and difficult things are happening, and when we look at those things, we go, uh-oh, what, why am I in this fight? But when we lift our eyes, and we look up, and we see the banner, oh yeah, God's fighting this fight. And as long as that banner was held high, Israel was winning. And if we lose sight of the banner, well, that's not a good thing. Now, let's take a look at a few things. Psalm 60. Psalm 60, verse 4. Psalm 60, verse 4. Church, this is going to hit home because you and I know the exact same thing. When God is acting in our lives, guess what? We're winning. When God's not acting in our lives, feels a lot like losing, doesn't it? Yeah. So, Psalm chapter 60 gives us an idea of the banner. Verse 4. You have set up a banner for those who fear you, that they may flee to it from the bow, that your beloved ones may be delivered. Give salvation by your right hand and answer us. God sets up a banner to flee towards in times of battle. You know, so many times when we're in a fight, we want to run away, right? There's the enemy. There's the exit. I'm going that way. And God sets up his banner on the other side and he goes, guys, over here. This is the direction you're going. You are fighting towards something. You're fighting towards something. We're not retreating. Church, how many times have we been in difficult circumstances? We've been in difficult places and we've cried out to God and said, I can't handle this. It's too much. No mas. I can't do it. I can't do it, God. Why does it always have to be so hard? Well, we've taken our eyes off the banner. We've forgotten that God is our protection. God is our salvation. God is the one that we are fighting towards. And as soon as we take our eyes off of him, or as soon as we lose sight of that banner, the fight doesn't go very well, does it? But in the middle of the fight, no matter the damage, no matter the pain, it doesn't matter how hot, tired, thirsty you are, worn down, you see that banner and you go, that's what I'm fighting for. That's the finish line. That's the end of this. And so I'm going to keep my faith and I'm going to keep working towards that goal. And that's what God does for us. That's what God does for us. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. I will not just give up in the middle of the fight and go, huh, that's all I got. I will keep my eyes on his banner held high, and I will not lose heart. I will not grow faint. I will not become too weary for the battle that he has put me in. I will keep my focus on him, and I will give him all that I have. That's who God is. And that's what God has called us to do. God is showing, back in Exodus 17, God is showing Israel that he fights for them. That he fights for them. And again, this is an amazing story. And I love the battle stories. We learn so much from Israel's history and the fights that they have to get in, and all the time God always reminding them, yeah, it's not you, it's me. It's not you, it's me. I'm fighting your battles. I'm the one doing this. And again, if God is doing this, really takes away our excuses of being tired, doesn't it? Church, who is empowering you to serve in God's kingdom? Who is it? There's two choices, and guess what? Not all of us can say the Lord. Because if the Lord is empowering us in his kingdom, guess what does not happen? We do not get tired, we do not grow weary, we do not lay down our arms, we do not give up, and we do not run away. If the Lord is empowering us in our spiritual battles, then our eyes are focused on him, and he does all the fighting for us. That's what it means. That's what it means. If the Lord is fighting your battle, you're winning. If the Lord is fighting your battle, you're winning. But it doesn't feel like winning. No, it doesn't always feel like winning. When you're in the middle of the battle, it doesn't always feel like winning. Right? I mean, if you're in the battle and the guy next to you just gets shot with an arrow, that was close. If you're in a battle and you're having to walk over bodies to get to where you need to be, that's not encouraging. That's not fun. I mean, this is a battle. This is not a frolic, right? How many times in the Bible does Scripture describe our existence as Christians as a spiritual battle? How many times does the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter have to remind us, you have an enemy. You're in a fight. We think sometimes that walking with Jesus is always like, la, 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 la. That's what we convince ourselves of. And Scripture paints a different picture. Scripture says you better arm up. You better suit up. You better get ready, because guess what? The enemy's in a fight with you. So what do we have to do? We keep our eyes on the banner. We keep our eyes on the sign that shows us that we're winning. That's what we do. And it gets hard. And we get tired. And at some point we may get wounded. And at some point we may be going in the battle. And we may have dropped to one knee. We're not giving up, but we're just like right here. And there better be someone next to us on our side that comes up to us and picks us up by the arm and says, let's go. Let's go. Why do we have the church? Why do we have each other? Just a bunch of nice people that we're all just trying to figure out this battle on our own? That when the victory is ours, then we'll have the reunion? No! We're in this battle together. God has given us those who understand and recognize that He is our banner, that He is our refuge, that He is the one fighting for us. So what's our responsibility to each other? Our responsibility to each other is to keep our eyes open for each other. Pick each other up. Let's go. We're going that way. The victory's ours. Yeah, but I'm tired. I know. Let's go. It's why I'm here. But I'm wounded. Yeah, I know. Let's patch that thing up and let's go. It's an amazing analogy, isn't it? It is, because we learn so much from God says, yeah, this is who I am. I am your banner. I am the sign that shows you that even though it's difficult sometimes, even though it's painful sometimes, even though there will be those that fall to your left and to your right, I'm still here and the victory is yours. Church, that is the Christian experience. That's it. That is the Christian experience. Well, let's take a look at something else. This is interesting. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy chapter 25. Because if you and I are going to have the kind of faith... Where did they hide Deuteronomy? There it is. Deuteronomy 25. If you're going to have the faith that we need to have to win this battle, we're going to, well, some of us are going to have to become field medics. And some of us are going to have to tend to those wounds. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, go all the way down to verse 17. This is interesting here. Because they fight Amalek. They defeat Amalek, but Amalek's not done. He had a survivor. He had some offspring. In fact, Amalek would be a problem, the tribe for God's people. And you remember at the end of our story what God said would happen to Amalek? He said, I'm going to blot him out, right? I'm going to blot him out. I'm going to blot him out. The fight's won, the battle's over, and God's promise, I'm going to blot him out. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17, look what he says. Remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you came out of Egypt, how he attacked you on the way when you were faint and weary, and cut off your tail. Those who were lagging behind you, and he did not fear God. Therefore, when the Lord your God has given you rest from all your enemies around you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance to possess, you shall blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget. When you have rest from your enemies, you shall not forget to blot out the memory. Did you catch that? Good. When you're in peacetime, when your fight is over, do not forget to blot out that painful memory. Yahweh Nissi. The Lord is my banner. Takes those haunting memories. He protects our lives and he protects our mind. How many times has the enemy tried to use your past? How many times has the enemy brought up something bad and negative? Hey, you remember that war story? Yeah, I got you good on that day. Hey, remember that fight that you had? Woo, wounded you good. I can still see the limp. Hey, you remember that bad thing that you did out there when you didn't think anybody else was watching? Uh-huh, I saw it. God says when you get to peacetime, do not forget to blot out the memory of the enemy who attacked you. Church, for us to appreciate and serve and celebrate and pray to the God, the Lord is our banner, we have to allow ourselves to come under His protection. And part of His protection is not just from those arrows flying all around us. Part of His protection is get rid of some of those memories. Because as dangerous as the arrows are flying all around us spiritually and physically, just as dangerous are some of those memories that you and I refuse to let go of. Right? And the worst ones is when we were a victim. It's bad enough the memories of sin that we were actively involved in because we know guilt. And we can apologize for those. At least we can say, Jesus, I'm sorry I did that. That was not me. That was sin. That's not who I want to be. What's worse is the memory of things done to us. Because how can I atone for that? How can I apologize to a wound that has been incurred to me? I can't. All I can do is look at the scar. All I can do is look at it and rub on it and remember it and go, whoa, that still hurts. And I can't do anything with it. And what does the Lord is my banner say? You blot that out. Well, Lord, by this time, that horrible thing that happened to me, it's a part of my identity. I mean, I lean upon it. I walk with it. I carry it with me. I mean, it's just become part of me. And God says, put it down. Blot it out. That's not who you are. Church, that may be part of the, that may be some of the most important or powerful part that you and I need to hear from the Lord is my banner. Blot it out. Because how many of us are walking around this Christian life going, okay, my sins are dealt with, I believe and I trust in Jesus, and I still got that haunting thing in my past. It's killing me. It is weighing me down. And everywhere I look, oh, there it is again. Some of us need to be praying to Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. We offer you the memory that needs to be blotted out. We give to you when the enemy came up behind us and snuck up and got us from behind. We weren't ready for it. We weren't prepared for it. And it hurt. It caused damage to our heart, to our minds, to our bodies, to our soul. And we're still carrying around that pain and we're still carrying around that wound. And we need the protection of your banner. We need you to protect us, not only from the enemy's darts that he's firing today, but also from the memory of those things that happened to me in the past. God, we give those things to you because we confess and we know we can't fully serve you and live the abundant life that you sent your son to give to us if we are still dragging along that dead weight. Jesus sets us free. Jesus sets us free. And you and I here's the choice of faith. We can either believe it and trust Him, and it may be as feeble as, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to walk forward without carrying the weight and the shame and the ugliness of what happened in my past. I don't know how I'm going to leave it there, but I know I need to. because I'm not free to serve you fully as you have intended me to do with that on my shoulders. Three times in John's gospel, chapter 3, chapter 8, and chapter 12, this is what Ben read for us this morning. Jesus says, when I am lifted up, Jehovah Nissi. You see, church, Jesus has become our banner. Jesus has become the victory that we look up and we see him there hanging on the cross. And we know because of his sacrifice, because of him being lifted up above the whole world, that the victory is ours. And the victory is won. And we're still in the fight, and it's ugly, and it's messy, and it's bloody, and we're wounded, and we're hurt, and we're tired, and all that's going on around us, and we lift our eyes and we look to Jesus, and we know that victory is ours. We know how this ends because our banner is still up there. Our banner is still high above the whole world. And that's what Jesus says. When I am lifted up, and again, from the root nisi, nis, the root word means to lift up. This is not an accident. This is not linguistic gymnastics. This is Jesus three times in John's gospel making a point. I am your banner. I am your protection. I am your sign that all will be well. You still got to trust it. It still requires faith. You and I are still on the battlefield swinging away going, man, I hope I get out of this. I hope we make it over there. But I can still see it. And as long as it's still standing, there's hope. As long as he's still up there, we're good. Two things. Jesus is our banner, and I got a pulse. Jesus is our banner, and I'm still alive. So put down that other stuff. Again, New Testament just crawls all over this, right? Lay down the sin that so easily entangles, and run your race. Because it's hard to fight. Whew. Two-handed's bad enough. One-handed? It's even harder, isn't it? Right? It's hard to be in a fight with one hand behind your back. You know what's even harder? Two? I mean, some of us, I don't remember his name, but what was the name of Monty Python's knight who ended up just sitting on the road? I don't remember what that guy's name was. Was that the Black Knight? He got both of his arms and his legs chopped off, and he's in the middle of the road saying, come on, where are you running off to? Yeah, it's not a big deal. It's just a flesh wound. Some of us try to live our faith like that, right? We're just sitting there on the ground like a stump. Like, I got nothing left. I have nothing left to fight with. And God says, no, you have the victory. And so in John chapter 3, in John chapter 8, in John chapter 12, Jesus has become God's banner for the entire world. He says, when I am lifted up, I will call all people to myself. He said in chapter 3, when I'm lifted up, whoever believes in me has eternal life. In chapter 8, he says, when I am lifted up, you will know that what? I am he. Oh, wait a minute. I am. I think I've heard this before. Yeah, you did. All the way back in the burning bush. And every time we see the name of God, this is who I am. Jesus says, I am he. And then in John chapter 12, and again, I'm asking the Lord, I'm not really sure, because I know we have read from John chapter 12 like the last 3 or 4 weeks straight. I don't know why God keeps taking me back there, but apparently you're along for the ride. John chapter 12, stuff is happening. Stuff is happening. And in John chapter 12, he says, the ruler is cast out. And when I am lifted up, I will draw everyone to myself for the refuge that is offered. The Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner. And so as we live, as we fight, as we walk this week, as we are in the middle of the battle, because some of us are in the middle of battles, some of us are just fighting. We are just there. And we got to remember two things. The Lord is my banner, and I have a pulse. And when maybe when we get to a little bit of peacetime, we get to breathe a little, we get to rest a little bit, what does God tell us to do? You take that foul memory, you take that nasty, awful, horrible thing that happened to you, and you leave it there. You leave it there. The Lord is my banner. So I will not walk through this life hobbled with one arm cut off or missing a leg or two legs. I'm not going to sit in the middle of the road and like a lump, like the Black Knight, just going, hey, all I got left is my mouth. Nope. That's not us. The Lord is my banner. Whew. So this week, that's who you're following. That's who you're serving. That's who you're offering prayers to. The Lord is my banner. I hope that helps. I hope that helps. This morning, if you need to respond, you have the opportunity. This morning, if you feel the call that Jesus has drawn you to himself, and it's time for you to lay down your sin, and it's time for you to allow him to forgive you, through his sacrifice, we invite you to come. Start your life over and be born again in the waters of baptism. And if you're wounded, look, sometimes we're on the battlefield and we're wounded and nobody knows because we get really good at hiding it. We get really good at, it's just a flesh wound. I'm not hurting. I'm not in pain. You have people here that love you and care about you and that will walk with you. And sometimes we have no idea that that wound is there to even help you with. So if you need to ask for prayers, if you need the support of your family, you got to let us know. You got to let us know. If you need to respond for anything this morning, or if you're just getting hungry and you just want to give thanks to God for lunch today, whatever it is, take that this week. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner.